Yelston, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast.
Welcome
to Utopia.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. It is a late in the week preview of the Bills game edition of the Utopia Football Podcast. I am Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. weekdays on Sports Radio 610, on the Odyssey app, on YouTube, on Twitch, and good to be with all of you as we get ready for the Buffalo Bills coming to town. Going to be a very different game than last week on a couple of fronts. One, the Bills are much, much better than the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know those are the type of takes that you come to the Utopia Football Podcast for. To get really smartened up, you're like, hey, you know what I heard on the Utopia podcast today? That the Bills are better than the 0-4 Jags. But that is the case. This is a step up in weight class for the Texans in a big, big way compared to the other three teams they've beaten this year. Minnesota is, they're very good. I'm still trying to figure out that Vikings loss. But the Bills are a legitimate contender in the AFC with a legitimate MVP candidate under center. Those are things that you cannot say about any of the other three teams the Texans have beaten this year. That's number one. Number two is that this is going to be a different atmosphere than we saw last week against Jacksonville. I shit you not, I could count on one hand how many Jags fans I saw outside the stadium on Sunday last week. And Seth and I get a pretty good look at it from where we are doing the pregame show. We're on a big stage outside the across the sidewalk from the Modelo Beer Garden there, right near the dome, right near where the entrance is, where people pour in from the blue lot tailgating. I'm not even joking. I can't remember more than five Jaguars jerseys that I saw. Not an exaggeration. So that was as home field as it's going to get for the Texans last week. Very different this week. This is a hot ticket. I think Buffalo people are driving the price of it up. Buffalo travels. This is a big game for them. I'm sure that Stephon Diggs' storyline is making it an even bigger game for them. There are going to be a lot of Bills fans. Texan fans, get in your seats early. This isn't me being a homer or me being a personality on the flagship for the Texans, getting on my hands and knees and begging you to get in there. This is me as a Texan fan telling you to get your ass in your seats by like 11:45 at the latest. The hell is wrong with you people that spend $200 a ticket and you're sitting out there noshing on your fourth bratwurst and drinking your 10th beer? I get it. The beer's cheaper in the parking lot than it is in the stadium, but this is a good football team, by God. Get in the damn stadium and sit in your seats. I'm hot already right out of the chute on this thing. Don't get me hotter, okay? All right. Hey, a quick reminder before we get into the six pack. This is going to be a quick episode. I'm going to preview this bad boy and then get out of here so we can get on with the weekend. But subscribe, rate, review the podcast. We appreciate you when you hit that subscribe button. I know a lot of you are. We got some podcast numbers shared at our company meeting this week. We had a big company meeting on, what's today, Thursday? Wednesday, yesterday. And they put all the, they stack ranked all the podcasts in the cluster for all the stations here in Houston. And Payne and Pendergast was number one with a bullet, might I say. Been number one for a long time. So we appreciate everybody downloading and subscribing to Payne and Pendergast and participating there. But the Utopia Football Podcast was in the top five for all the podcasts in the cluster here. So that was pretty good. I don't know how we're stacking up against the other Houston podcasts. Don't really care. Just going to keep banging out what we do here on YouTube and on all the areas or all the platforms where you get your podcasts. That's all I'm going to do. Just keep doing my best. And on we go. So appreciate everybody who continues to subscribe to the podcast, share it with people. The more the Texans win, the more fun this is going to be. Even when they lose, it's still fun, but it's winning is a good kind of fun. We haven't had that in a long, long time until the last couple of years. So appreciate you guys coming along for the ride. Also, a quick reminder, if you want to hit me with an email, houmailbag@gmail.com. Again, my recommendation on the email, a couple recommendations on the emails, because we're getting more and more emails now than we ever have. I'm getting about triple the number of emails now than I would get in the off season, which is to be expected. It's the regular season, but it's also way more than I got last year during the regular season. So we've grown this thing pretty good so far. Try to keep the emails short. Some of you send in like seven paragraphs, and I appreciate the passion. I really do. I don't have time to read. If you're sending me, like a declaration of independence. And this, and I appreciate the creativity and everything else. I'm probably not going to be able to read the whole thing. So I appreciate the ones that are maybe a few sentences, some feedback on the podcast, boom, question. That's the best way to do it. That's the best way to make sure it gets into the episode, is to keep it tight. All right. So that's number one. Number two, if you're sending me an email about like a question about the upcoming game on Sunday against the Bills, like if you send me an email today, like, hey, Sean, what do you think about James Cook and the Texans? What are the chances of them shutting him down? I'm not going to see that email till after the game. I don't read any of the emails until Sunday or Monday. So, and the email episode runs on Tuesday next week. So that's just a dead email to me. So that's what I would say. I send an email today, but whatever you send before the Bills game on Sunday or before any game coming up on a Sunday, just make sure that it's a topic that evergreens fine, that can be used independent of what the outcome of Sunday's game is. The best thing to do is probably just hit me with emails Sunday and Monday, but I'm all for sending like general questions whenever. So that's just a little insight. I just don't want you guys wasting your time when it comes to the email. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste your time. So again, try to keep them short, a paragraph at the most. And if you're going to send an email before the Bills game, make sure that your question isn't about the Bills game. I don't go into the email over the weekend and answer all the emails. I just don't. I need a day off here and there. But I appreciate all of you, and certainly the regulars who send emails. And if you listen to this podcast, you know who you are, and the people who listen know who you are. I really appreciate you guys. So, but just want to make life a little easier on everybody. So there's the mailbag rules. All right, let's get into it here. The six pack of pregame keys for this Bills and Texans game. I've seen this line fluctuate. It opened at 2.5 Bills, and then the Ravens game happened, and all of a sudden it swings over to -1 for the Texans, and now it's back to -1 for the Bills. So this thing it's basically a coin flipper game. If this game were played on a neutral field, the Bills would probably be a fairly clear favorite, you know, somewhere like 3.5, 4 points. But it's not. It's being played at NRG. I'm curious how much Vegas values NRG Stadium as a home field, and add in the fact that it's the Bills, the opponent, and they're probably going to travel pretty well. Usually home field is worth 3 points. I would say home field in this one is worth maximum probably 2 points, when you consider that Houston is not super duper rabid like some of the stadiums. The crowd shows up late and the Bills are going to be in the building. No disrespect to anybody who's going to be in the building as a Texan fan. These are just facts. My wife is one of the people that has season tickets. Now, she's in her seats in time for the game. She does not waste money. That's why she's my wife. But this line, at last I checked, is Bills -1. I'll give my prediction as the six can in the six pack. But let's get it started with number one, the run game for the Houston Texans. Whatever that's going to look like, they're going to need to run the football in this game. I think Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce, as of my recording this, have not practiced yet this week. Mixon practiced last Friday. I can't imagine he won't practice tomorrow. If he practiced last Friday, unless he's aggravated the ankle, I would suspect he'll practice again tomorrow. I would suspect practice will be in the stadium tomorrow as well. I don't like that he hasn't practiced at all this week, though. That bothers me. I would think if he were to play, he would be at least limited today. So we may be getting another heaping, and I don't know what the deal is with Damian Pierce. It's a hamstring, and he hasn't practiced, and it's unfortunate because, boy, is he missing out on a big opportunity right now with Joe Mixon out. So this may be another Cam Akers game. This may be another game where we're mixing Dari Ogunbowale in crucial situations because he's the most trusted. So, they're going to need to run the football to get play action going, to help keep pressure off of C.J. Stroud. Until we know what the health situation is, I don't feel great about that. Mixon's a game changer for the Texans. There's no doubt about that. Mixon is a 100% absolute game changer for the Houston Texans. So let's hope, keep fingers crossed, that he's at least limited tomorrow at practice and that he's got a chance to start the game on Sunday. But running the football will be a big, big key. Statistically, the Texans ran the ball okay against Jacksonville, but I think if you watch that game, you know, like down to down, it wasn't great. You know, and CJ had a couple scrambles in that game, which kind of skewed the numbers a little bit. So key number two, that's number one. Number two is to protect CJ Stroud. I think the run game helps in that and keeping the Bills defense honest. No Von Miller in this game, which is a big help. I know Von Miller is not what he used to be, more of a situational guy for the Bills, but he's been healthy this year and he's been productive this year in the 20 or 25 snaps that he's getting per game. He's been suspended because of the personal conduct policy. So he'll be gone for four games, the first of which is Sunday at NRG Stadium. The Bills still have some very productive edge rushers, though, in Greg Rousseau and A.J. Epinesa out of Iowa, Rousseau out of Miami. And they're very, very good. And the Texans have had trouble with cluttered pockets in C.J. Stroud and him getting hit and him getting sacked. So I'm worried about the edges. Ed Oliver in the middle. We all know Ed Oliver. He's a beast, kind of a breakout year last year, had 9.5 sacks. That's been a problem on the interior. Ed Oliver lined up over Juice Scruggs or Shaq Mason or Kenyon Green, that's an issue. So that's, I'm looking at key number two here. Can number two in the pregame six pack is to protect CJ Stroud. And I think you do that by running the football. And I think you do that by paying attention to your assignments up front. They don't blitz a whole lot, the Bills, I'm told. So hopefully this does not need to be a thinking man's game when it comes to handling that stuff up front. But I think if you give CJ Stroud time to throw against anybody, he's going to dice him up. So that's number two. On the other side of the football, number three, also quarterback related, but it's Josh Allen. Contain him and try to keep him in the pocket. Try to keep him from escaping and getting outside and getting on the run. He throws so well on the run. He's so creative. And if he decides to tuck the ball away and run, he's a monster. So the guys up front for the Texans need to maintain discipline, maintain their lanes, things like that, and keep an eye on Josh Allen. But I think keeping Josh Allen in the pocket, keeping Allen from hurting you with his legs is the key to shutting down that offense. They run the ball much better than they have in recent years with James Cook, the Bills do. I think the passing game has been better than people anticipated it would be, taking Diggs out of the mix with Keon Coleman and with Shakir and with the two tight ends that they have, Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid. It's been a very serviceable, it's been beyond serviceable. I mean, Josh Allen's an MVP candidate, but those receivers collectively, this offense runs at least through four games just as well as it did when Stephon Diggs was a Buffalo Bill. And that's been the big goal for the Bills. If you read the article this week that Jeremy Fowler had on ESPN.com, that was kind of the thrust of wanting to move on from Stephon Diggs, is they kind of took a look around at the second half of last year when Diggs was on the team. They're winning a bunch of games without force feeding the ball to Diggs. And the feeling in Buffalo was, we can do this without him. And I think so far, by and large, other than that Ravens game, they've been correct so far. So keeping Josh Allen where knowing where he is, you know, keeping him in the pocket, when he starts moving, that's when things get dicey for the defense. So keeping Josh Allen in the pocket, number three. Number four, penalties. Can we just make it so that we don't have to talk about penalties next week? Can we just do that? Eight penalties. How about that? How about eight penalties, Texans? Can we bargain a little bit here? Can we negotiate? I'm going to ask for two penalties, and you're going to say, well, that's silly. We have Laremy Tunsil on the team. He gets two himself every single week. How can we expect, Sean, how can we expect to only get two penalties this coming week? To which I would say, fair counterpoint, but I'm not going to allow you your normal 12 that you get the last few weeks, Texans. 12, 11, and 12 the last 3 weeks. I'm not allowing that. So it's not going to be 12. And so I would come back and say, I don't know, how about five? And you, Texans, would probably say, did you see the Minnesota game? Laremy got five penalties himself. Again, Sean, that's a little unreasonable to think that nobody else is going to get any penalties. To which my reply would be, can we expect Laramie maybe to improve at some point here, Texans? Is that okay? Maybe he's not getting five penalties or two penalties or novel concept. How about no penalties on Laramie Tunsil? That would be great. But I get it. So you want 12. I want five. How about eight? To which I would hope you would say, fine, since that's still kind of a shitty game. Eight penalties. It's not great. Just make it so that I don't have to talk about penalties and I don't have to read everybody's texts about trading Laramie Tunsil and cutting Laramie Tunsil and how much you think we can get for Laramie Tunsil and why does Laramie Tunsil wear a gas mask and oh, why is Tunsil this and why is Tunsil that? If we don't have to talk about Laramie Tunsil at all on Monday or in the postgame show on Sunday, it would be a dream. That would be great. And I don't want it to be because they lost 45-7 and you really just blame to go around with everybody. Laramie just didn't really do anything in that game, but there's other more egregious offenders. I'm talking about they go get a win and we're not having to talk about Laramie Tunsil because he hasn't false started four times or he's lining up properly for a change. He actually did that right last week. I should point that out. He did get the lining up thing proper. But in all seriousness, if you play a game, if you play a penalty-ridden game, Texans, like you did the last three, you will lose this game. None of the other keys I mentioned matter if you get 12 penalties. Running the football, protecting Stroud, keep Allen in the pocket, blah, blah. You get 12 penalties against the Bills, you're losing the damn game, all right? So clean that up. I don't want to have to talk about penalties in the six-pack. I don't want to have to talk about penalties in four winners, four losers. I don't want to talk about it on the radio. I'm tired of talking about it right now. On to number five. The Diggs drama. That's a nice six-pack can right there. We have not talked enough about that this week, the Stephon Diggs, Buffalo Bills drama, in part because both sides are doing a pretty good job of playing nice with one another. That's why I can't wait for the game. That's why truth comes out. Nut-cutting time will be when toe hits leather, ball under center, Diggs lined up on one side, Nico on the other, and let's effing go. You know what I mean? So I'm anxious to see, from a standpoint, the Diggs drama, what I'm anxious to see is there any inkling of the Texans wanting to get Diggs the ball in this game? You know, is there something about wanting to help a guy really show his old team what they're missing out on? I personally hope they don't get caught up in that. I personally think that's something you can probably use to your advantage by not force feeding the ball to Stephon Diggs. And that's kind of how it's played out this year anyways, with Nico leading in all the categories he's leading in right now. But if it turns into like a dick measuring contest with Stephon Diggs and the Texans versus, say, Josh Allen and the Bills, like which side looking to prove they were right about the whole thing? The advantage the Bills have is them looking to prove that they're right is something that comes with a vast degree of unpredictability. Them proving that they are right involves spreading the ball around. The Texans, I'm not trying to help Stephon Diggs prove that they're on the right side of this, involves force feeding the ball to Stephon Diggs, which is that to me is a much less sound strategy than what the Bills have at their availability. So I'm just anxious to see how this plays out, if how nice everybody's been playing all week and all offseason long. If once the game starts, that changes. As the WWE fan in me, or I should say the WWE fan in me, wants to believe that there is going to be some serious jawing and some serious fireworks in this game involving Diggs. So keeping an eye on that for sure. Buffalo is a little banged up in their secondary right now. Their top guy is Rasul Douglas, who was a camp body for the Texans a few years ago. And he's gotten paid a couple times since leaving here. I don't know what the hell happened there. Like, he was a camp body in the David Culley camp and somehow escaped the Texans and has become a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback. So we'll see. I think the one thing you can set your watch to, Nico Collins is going to go get 100 yards again this week. He's just unstoppable right now. He's just incredible. All right, so along those lines, six can is always the prediction. I said it this week on the post-game show. I said it this week on Payne and Pendergast. I'll say it again here. The way the Texans have played these first four games, the fourth game was the breaking point for me. where until they prove otherwise, until they show me otherwise, this is who they are. They are a very talented, very well quarterbacked, largely well coached team that is just completely undisciplined and quite honestly lazy in certain areas of what they do. And until they prove otherwise, I'm not going to be the one to sit here and back a team that's gone 12 penalties, 11 penalties, 12 penalties the last 3 weeks, especially when the nature of the penalties are the DGAF type of penalties. Offsides, false starts, illegal formation, unsportsmanlike because Steven Sims can't keep his mouth shut. I can't back you. I can't. I want to be wrong. I want to be proven wrong. I want the Texans to go 16-1 this year and win a Super Bowl. But I also need to give my honest opinion on the pick. I think this game is going to be a track meet myself. I think it's going to be very high scoring. I think that this game is going to take on a culture of, you know, the back and forth, maybe last team that has the ball wins. But until the Texans stop making silly mistakes and allowing teams to hang around in games, bad teams, and the Bills are not a bad team, but I'm saying until that style of ball gets eradicated, I'm taking the Bills 34-27 over the Houston Texans. 34-27. And this is my promise. If the Texans do win this game and they commit 10 penalties or 12 penalties or whatever, I will not complain after the game. How's that? That's my promise to you. One, because I'm tired of complaining about penalties, as has been noted already on this podcast. But number two, the Bills are a good enough team that I don't care how you beat them. The Jags and the Bears and the Colts are not. I do care if you're a Super Bowl contender how you beat those teams, especially when the way in which you beat them, which was sloppy, came back to bite you in the one loss that you have this year. But the Bills are above the line of teams where I'm going to get choosy and picky about how you win this game. I promise you that. If you win this game, but you do it in a way where you've forfeited points on special teams, you've had 10 or 12 penalties, you've been generally sloppy, you were only good situationally in the fourth quarter to eke out the game, I'll take it. I'll take any type of win here. That's not, I need it against the Jags, but against the Bills, that is my promise, Texans. All right, so 34-27. I got the Bills winning this thing. Cannot pick you, Texans, until you get all these penalties out of your system. All right? A reminder once again, houmailbag@gmail.com. I gave you the mailbag rules earlier in the podcast. I appreciate you adhering to those. Certainly appreciate you guys just sending the emails. I don't want to sound like a cruel, draconian dictator on the mailbag. I'm just trying to make life easier for all of us. And subscribe, rate, and review the podcast as well. We always appreciate that. So for Anthony Irwin, my producer, thanks to him, we're out of time. So I will see all of you on Sunday evening when I record the recap to the Bills and the Texans. Hopefully a big win for the Texans. Hoping I'm wrong on my prediction. So until then, have a great weekend, everybody.